once again to Dual World in episode 26. Joining me this week, we have Daniel.
As ever.
And Jason.
Hey, hey.
And both of you have decided it would be the best time for you to try out new PC games while recording this. So, I mean, I guess we might as well start there. Jason has just built himself a brand new computer, and he is testing it out with a new game. So tell us what you're playing.
Yeah, just yesterday, I mean, I finally built my new PC. Now I have a gaming PC, and I'm playing some Civilization V right now. Just kind of the first game I got.
So I have to ask, how does it feel to build a device for a dead platform?
it was weird. It was a learning experience, though. It was cool.
The best thing is you'll never need another computer ever again.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, is I got pretty good specs on it for not that expensive, all things considered, and now I have a new platform.
Well, I mean, it's a dead one. Nobody actually counts it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not just for gaming, though, for me, too. So my old computer is just getting, like, about old to die, so...
Yeah, it seems to happen with these things. I don't know why. They should stay young forever.
That's the main benefit, is if all of a sudden PC gaming does die and Valve go out of business or something, it does other stuff. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if you can't play games on it anymore.
You could Twitter and Facebook, so that's always there. I mean, who wouldn't want a $2,000 computer to Twitter?
But it wasn't $2,000.
I'm not saying it was. I'm just, you know, I'm pulling a Pactor here.
Yeah.
Because he always been using top-of-the-line stuff. So what about you, Daniel? What are you playing?
I have been playing Crysis 2. Because another new PC game. Because I have been playing it on PC. And it has its issues. But, oh my god, it is really fun. Is really, really fun.
I am tempted to pick it up because you and several other people have been really giving good impressions about it, and somebody on my Twitter feed mentioned that it reminded them a lot of Batman Arkham Asylum, and that always kind of piques my interest.
I wouldn't say the two games are similar. Actually, no, because in Batman, you're given a situation and you can tackle it however you want, and Crysis is the same thing. Just Crysis is, I found Crysis to be more fun, is because you can, if you wanted to, you can sort of walk around invisible, stalk somebody, and then plant C4 in their face and watch them blow up. Whereas you can't quite do that in Arkham Asylum.
You can't. Well, I mean, you can do something similar. You can kind of sneak around and use the explosive gel and kind of lure them into an area and... You know, you won't kill them, but yeah, that's kind of the gameplay elements he was telling me about, is that the whole, like, the predatory mode where you kind of stalk your prey and pick your spots instead of going guns a-blazing.
The game is much better when you play it your second time around, because you're a lot more confident with, especially if you haven't played the first Crysis, because you're a lot more confident with the suit powers and how you can use them. So, I'm playing my second playthrough right now, and I'm playing it differently to how I did the first time. So in spots where I'd stealth it, I would go and try to go guns blazing and vice versa. And it is really fun. And like I said, it has its issues. There are some bugs here and there with, like, AI, and especially, I think, towards the end. But it's a really fun game, and especially if you play it on PC, it looks really good.
Okay. How is the multiplayer? Have you not touched that?
I haven't touched it yet. I've been enjoying the single player too much.
Fair enough. That's, you know, not something you hear every day. It's just kind of sad, but, you know, it is true. I still prefer a much more solid single player campaign than a decent online component.
Yeah, me
too.
Well,
the main reason why another reason why I haven't really touched a multiplayer player is because I know how it plays, and it's just Call of Duty with Invisible. So, it's not anything new. It would probably replace Call of Duty for me, because It's not hard to get a game that works better than Black Ops on my PC, let's put it that way.
Until Modern Warfare 3 comes out.
I probably won't end up getting that.
Yeah, everybody says that, especially certain people whose name we won't mention.
I won't
get
it.
Yeah, you said the same thing about Black Ops.
Well,
and the DLC map.
That was gifted to me. That was different.
And I'm sure you did not ask for it.
Nope.
Uh-huh. I have to admit that I didn't pay for either copy of Modern Warfare 2 that I have, and yes, I have two copies of it. I didn't pay for any of them, so I technically didn't buy that one.
Why do you have two copies of it?
I have one on 360 and one on PC.
Just in case you miss out on that action adventure. How often do you actually play either copy?
I have Modern Warfare 2 on PC uninstalled.
So you don't play that one?
No, and I haven't touched the 360 version in a long time.
So you have two copies of a game that you don't play?
No. Well, yes, but I didn't pay for either copy, so...
I mean, I guess that makes it fair, but it's still like you have two copies of a game you don't play. That's like me owning the entire Metal Gear Solid franchise and just even there to stare at. As for me, I haven't really been playing much. What I played recently was Monster Tail on the DS. I needed a new game because I didn't want to play Pokemon. Yeah, I didn't want to play Pokemon on the bus up there, so I decided to check out Monster Tail, which is an interesting game. It's kind of like the Metroidvania style labyrinth open world exploration type games.
Yeah.
But it has like a monster raising element to it, except you have one monster, but you know, depending on what you do, like if you feed him ice cream.
Yeah.
He'll unlock a water form. If you work him out and stuff like that, he'll get a brute form. And if you feed him like books and scrolls, he'll learn special moves faster and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool in that aspect. And I also like the fact that you aren't knocked into like one path. So like if you unlock his water form, that doesn't mean that for the rest of the game you have to evolve that form. You can go back to a previous form and then start evolving him up with different stats to get different other forms and stuff like that. So it's actually pretty cool. It kind of holds your hand in that it always tells you where you need to go. And, I mean, I kind of enjoy that where you aren't forced to blindly explore places, hoping that you remember every nook and cranny.
Yeah.
But at the same hand, it kind of defeats the purpose of being in an exploration game. When really, for the most part, you can't go anywhere the game doesn't allow you to go that it's not pointing you in the direction of. So it gives you the illusion of freedom, but you're kind of, you know, it's kind of a linear experience.
Yeah.
And you power up pretty often. I'm about 2 hours in, and I think I've gotten something like a dozen power-ups for the main character, and that's not counting the various forms I've unlocked for my monster creature.
Sounds pretty interesting.
I hate the sound effects in that game. I don't... I mute it whenever I attack and stuff. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
The story's kind of whimsical. You know, it's kind of like a kid's story where like you're a kid who's transported to another world, and the world is run by kids who came before you and who kind of turned evil and like, forced the monsters to be their servants or whatever. So you kind of got that whole element where it's a kid's world, so you don't have it. It's not a very adult shot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoy it. It's a fun game, and it was a nice diversion to take Pokemon out of my DS after 2.5 weeks.
Speaking of Pokemon, have you... I don't know if I told... if I've been on the podcast since I finished it, but my God, was that ending awesome.
I have not finished it.
You haven't finished it, but the ending is awesome. And I sat there and I was like, wow. That's how good the ending was.
Well, it's good to hear they did something with it. I mean, I actually kind of enjoyed the story in this one so far.
They did, they made some changes to the way the story plays out that they needed to make.
And I think they made the bad guys less of a joke than like Team Rock. I mean, some of them were a bit more... I remember Team Magma, I think, was a bit more serious, but...
The goals were a bit silly. So Team Aqua was to flood the world, and I'm just like, what? And Team Magma was to fill make the world one giant landmass, and I'm like, that makes no sense.
But the people in here, their purpose made sense, and I kind of like that you had the main villains, and then you had like N, who had his own agenda, but he was still serving as an antagonist in the game. So yeah, it was an interesting idea.
But yeah, before we start an hour conversation about Pokemon, I think we should move on.
Yes. Before we move on to the news, Jason wanted to talk about Project Ten Liars.
Because
he's the only person in the world who supports it. So
really?
Let's be fair to him. Let's be open-minded. He's going to speak his part.
Alright, well, I guess basically the whole idea of the Project $10 is to charge for the multiplayer, right? So like $10. And you get that for free if you buy the game new. So for most people, it's not even anything new. And the only thing it does is it brings in revenue for the publishers and developers on copies of the game that they don't otherwise get revenue off of, like pirated copies or games that are bought used, and that allows them to, like, you know, like, they get paid for their work and put it into more development. And really, it's like, it's just $10. They still give you, like, they still let you access other stuff, and you don't have to do it. And at least the way EA does it, they give you like a week free trial to decide if you even want to do it or not. So, I mean,
I didn't know they did the trial.
Yeah.
So now, here's the problem.
For a game
I
like
have.
Homefront, where the campaign is like 2 hours long and it's pretty much just all multiplayer, it makes a lot less sense. But if you're talking like a, I don't know, Medal of Honor.
I think a better example would be Halo, because you can tell Bungie put a lot of effort into the single player as well.
Yeah.
I can definitely see the justification for it. But here is the problem that I have with Project Tangalola as it stands now, okay? So EA are doing what they do with everything, and they are going a little overboard with it. So for example, two games that have Project $10 thing, right, are Battlefield Bad Company 2 and Bulletstorm. And the multiplayer in both those games works completely differently. And I don't know if you knew this, but for Bad Company 2, even on consoles, it's server-based, and EA run all the servers. And I can understand Project $10 for that, because EA have got to pay for them. That's perfectly understandable, right? But for Bulletstorm, the multiplayer is not server-based at all. It's all peer-to-peer, like it is in Halo, like it is in Call of Duty. And EA don't have to pay anything for that. So I kind of think that, and considering a multiplayer, especially for Bulletstorm, multiplayer was kind of an afterthought, and they put a lot more effort into the single player. I just think that, you know, and another game that's like that is Dead Space 2 as well. Dead Space 2, although it's server-based and EA have to pay for it, Visceral didn't really put a lot into the multiplayer. So I think that,
Then if you have a multiplayer like that, then if you don't even want to play it, then you just don't pay the $10. Or if you bought the game new, you can play it anyway.
But I think that if they're going to say, you know, pay us $10 to access the multiplayer, they need to make it worth that amount.
But, I mean, it's not always, like, even Mass Effect had it, and that wasn't to access multiplayer.
That is to access things that are content that's on the disc, and that is when I say no to Project $10. Because Bad Company 2 also did this, where they would say they would get DLC when it's already actually on the disc. And it's old maps recycled for old game modes. And that is the problem with EA, is they are taking something and they're saying, they're taking something that could make sense, which is Project $10, and they're saying, here, have things that are on the disc 10 months after the game releases.
I mean, my biggest issue with Project $10.
The problem isn't the concept of Project $10, right? My problem with it is EA's handling of the concept.
I think my problem with the concept is that you should reward people who buy the game new and not punish people who don't. I think that's a bit more, I think that's a fairer system than saying that if you buy the shoes, you have to pay 10. And I understand that they want that extra revenue, but I think on the other hand, maybe they should offer something free for, like, I know that's kind of what Mass Effect did. If you bought it new, you kind of access the service network and you got free DLC.
But that, it is rewarding people that buy it new because they get just bonus content that's not.
But it's not bonus content though, if it's already on the disc.
Yeah, that's not, it's not really rewarding them. It's like, okay, you're just getting this. It's not like saying you get, like, maybe, like, an example would be like Gears of War 2, which had like the golden weapons if you pre-ordered it. And if you bought it like the first week. So you got rewarded for getting an early adapter.
In that you also, they also gave new copies the map pack, the flashback,
yeah, the flashback map pack,
map which
pack.
They charge people to buy if you didn't have it, which is the same idea. They just didn't label it.
I don't think that's the same idea, because technically you're rewarding people for buying and, instead of saying, like, it's not like the people who bought it new didn't have, what was I going to say? It's not like it was a thing, you didn't need the flashback map packs. It's not like you can say, oh, you can't play Gears of War 209 unless you pay $10. It's like if you wanted these maps from part one, you can either buy it new or you can wait and get it for $10. I think that's a different idea in that, I mean, it's similar ideas, but I think it rewards the person for buying it new more than it punishes you for buying it used. It's a very thin line.
I just think that if you're going to give out content for free for buying the game new, the content that comes out after the game is released that is not on the disc, then fine, right? But the problem is that's not how EA does it, because EA is all about selling you things that are already on the disc.
I mean, it's not just EA who does it, though.
EA is the biggest culprit, which is part of the reason why I think that EA is killing the industry. Even worse than Activision. I think that EA are killing the industry.
He has a problem with EA.
I have a big problem with EA. And the worst thing about it is everyone's like, oh no, EA are way better than Activision. EA are not way better than Activision.
I just don't see what bad it really does to have Project $10. Just helping
what bad it does is when you give a concept like that to EA. Because look what EA have done with it.
I think opened like a new stream of revenue.
They opened a new stream of revenue, and also they're selling you things that are already on the disc. They're selling things already on the disc. You know, they're not really incentivizing buying the game new. They're just saying, if you don't do this, we're going to punish you. Do it. We're going to punish you for it.
That is, like I said, it's. Like, I know Mortal Kombat has it, but what does Mortal Kombat do? Are you not allowed to go online until you get it?
I don't know. It must be.
Because that would have the game,
but. When I'm playing a fighting game, I don't care about multiplayer. I can play against the AI.
Fair enough, but playing against the AI kind of gets old fast. At least to me, it does.
Yeah, but just because you've got someone's name there instead of the character's name, it doesn't really change a lot.
Well, it's not even that. It's like you also, you know, you can play with your friends and stuff, which is what I assume most people do with fighting games.
What they need to do is they need to find an alternate way. They just need to find a way of combating used game sales without punishing the people that are buying the games new, which is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, we give you something that's already on the disc 10 months later.
And I guess the other thing is that it's a minor thing, but it's still an extra step for the consumer because, I mean, in my experience, you still need like these codes to input to access these features anyhow, if you buy it new.
Yeah, you do.
And it's a minor thing, but it's still an extra step for you to do something.
And here's another problem. What if the codes don't work?
Yeah, I was about to say, that's an issue, because nobody replaces codes. I've had an issue with that with Xbox Live Points cards before, where I bought them at stores, but once you buy them, that's yours. You can't return it, you can't call them and say it doesn't work.
I've had codes replaced before.
Have you?
Yeah.
Because when I did it, I did not get them replaced. I couldn't go to the store because they won't take it back. And the company's like, we can't do anything for you. Different strokes for different folks. But, I mean, there's that. I guess now we can move into the news of the last 2 weeks or so, since we were in here last weekend. And there was a lot of announcements and cancellations this week, in addition to a bunch of April Fool's jokes, but we won't get into that. Actually, the biggest thing that seems to be popping up this past week is trash talk amongst developers. First, we had Revio smack talking Nintendo, and let me see if I can get the correct quote. "If I was trying to sell a $49 piece of plastic to people, then yes, I'd be worried too. But I think it's a good sign that people are concerned because, from my point of view, we're doing something right."
Okay, I'm gonna have to stop you there because Rovio really annoy me as of late. I mean, fine, Angry Birds is successful, right? That's fine. I'm not gonna deny that, right? But the biggest problem I have with Rovio is the success has gotten to the head of someone in that company.
The CEO.
Because the CEO automatically thinks that he automatically knows everything about the industry just because he managed to rip off a Flash game and sell it on the iPhone.
Which is a complaint I heard a lot of people make with this. And, you know, I thought it was one of those things where people are just kind of being, you know, just being snarky. But it actually is pretty much a clone of a game.
It is.
It's like Castle and...
Crash the Castle and numerous other variations. But it's just like the sheer audacity of the CEO to come out and say things like this. Nintendo have been in the business almost since its creation. I mean, they came like 10 years into it. And Nintendo is, they've done a lot, they've made a lot of mistakes and they've learned from them. And also they've done a lot of things right. And just come out and basically push Nintendo around and say, we know more than you, is... You don't do it.
And I guess the weirdest thing about it is that Angry Birds and this company was one of the few that Nintendo actually highlighted as doing something positive on the mobile scene during their GDC conference, which is where this whole bad blood comes from, I assume. And the fact of the matter is, I don't know about the rest of you, but Angry Birds is an interesting game, and I like the game, I won't deny that. But the fact is, it's kind of a really broken business model because, personally, I got it for free because they don't charge for it on the Android.
Yeah.
I think it's ad-based.
It's ad-powered, but, so it's all right for Rovio to say that because they get paid no matter whether you're playing the game or not, right? Whereas Nintendo, they have to sell units. Nintendo have to sell consoles, right? And Nintendo... Most importantly, what Nintendo does is Nintendo innovates.
And who knows, maybe the next Angry Bird... But that's the thing, I guess, is that so far they're a one-shot pony, and if they come out and they do something successful the next time, they'll have more say, but they've really...
Well, they've done something else successful. It's still got Angry Birds on the in the name, though.
Yeah, I was about to say, it doesn't count if you iterate on Angry Birds.
It's still the same game, and, they're trying to... outreach themselves. You know, they've had one good idea, and that's it.
I know I've said...
Well, they borrowed one good idea.
I know I've said that Nintendo like their formulaic games, but at least... I mean, but Nintendo are really good at changing the formula when they do so. Like, the best example I can think of is Super Mario Galaxy.
I was going to say Super Mario 64.
Or Super Mario 64, then Super Mario Galaxy. You know?
Yeah. But, I mean, even then, I mean, again, it's a rookie company, and I actually don't fault them for this, because you get your name in there with the biggest game studio in the world. You kind of get press. You get people knowing you. And granted, Angry Birds is a huge title as it is, but now the company's name is out there as well with Angry Bird and with Nintendo, and you get publicity.
In fact, I think he's just saying this for publicity. As if they need it. You know, they've got Angry Birds merchandise and spewing out of their every orifice, right?
Was the Angry Bird movie for real, or is that...
No, that was an April Fool's joke, but the point is that they've still got merchandise spewing out of every orifice.
I thought they were making Angry Birds movie, no?
I thought, because the thing was announced that the trailer was like Monday or Tuesday of this week. So I don't know.
If there really is an Angry Birds movie, I weep for Hollywood. I wait.
Really? I always find people say that, but at this point, they butcher ideas left and right. We have a Smurf movie coming out this year.
Yeah, but the difference is, right, is the Smurfs have actually has some sort of...
Don't say they have some type of plot.
No, it's not plot, but they've got... The Smurfs have characters, and you can form a plot around the Smurfs. Let's put it that way. It's possible to form a plot around the Smurfs. How would you form a plot about a slingshot flinging cutesy birds at green pigs and destroying structures?
Yeah, I was about to say, you make it probably a war movie where you have like the...
That would never work.
No, they would do it like, they would just do like, it would be like a kids movie, yeah. Where the pigs would just be the bad guys. It would be like when they tried to do the Viva Piñata TV show.
Yeah, I mean, I could, not that I want to see it, but I could see how Hollywood would work around doing an Angry Birds movie. I mean, it's not like we don't have animal-driven animated features as it is right now. This would just have a market that's kind of tied into video games. So, yeah.
I mean, let's put it this way, right? Video game movies, even when you thought it was possible to make a movie that was good based on certain video games, they've been crap. They may have gotten a lot of money at the box office, but they've been crap.
No, and I don't think there's really been a financially successful... I guess the Resident Evil movies do well, but that's about it.
Well, then, even then, right? So... If video game movies in general are doing bad, and you go and do an Angry Birds movie, it doesn't make any sense.
But yeah, nobody says it has to make sense. People see, oh, it's hot, it's new. People are going to want to see this movie. I doubt anybody's actually dying for an Angry Bird movie, but this is how companies think.
I think Rovio's CEO should shut up. Whether he's doing it just for bad publicity or whether he actually means what he says, I think he should just shut up.
Speaking of CEOs who need to kind of keep their mouths shut from time to time, we have David Cage from Quantic Dreams, who apparently just doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut about anything. And this week he was caught, I guess not bad-mouthing, but I guess he was bad-mouthing. He was saying that the L.A. Noire technology is cool, but it's a dead end, and that they feel that the technology in Heavy Rain is far superior.
Didn't he say that the technology in his latest game is far superior?
Well, I think he said they can't wait to show their next game because he feels the technology in that surpasses it, but,
I can guarantee you this, right? Yeah, his next game may have better facial animations than L.A. Noire, but L.A. Noire will have better gameplay, better voice acting.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't necessarily disagree with him on certain points, is that I guess the thing with L.A. Noire is that it's doing facial and body animation separately.
Yeah, but like I said, animation techniques were irrelevant if one game is more evolved.
Oh, no, I'm not saying
if,
but I'm saying from the technological standpoint, if it's a bit more disjointed if you're doing a face and a body because it doesn't necessarily match up. I mean, it's kind of weird to think about, but you know, you do kind of talk with your full body when somebody talks, and to do it separately, it's like to have your head on somebody else's body while you're speaking.
Yeah.
What kind of... And he's saying that because they do it separately, it's also more expensive, which may or may not be the case. I don't have the financial statements from either company. And he's saying that's why... That was part of the reason he's saying it's a technological dead end. I don't see, because from what I understand, Heavy Rain doesn't have the greatest animations either. But I guess that's more something Jason can speak on, since I think he's played Heavy Rain.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the animations are really good, but I thought at least the facial animations in L.A. Noire are definitely the most accurate I've seen.
Yeah, and that's because they actually...
Here's a problem is, I get a sense of every time I look at an L.A. Noire video of someone speaking, I just get a sense of Uncanny Valley, and... I can see that from whatever David Cage is doing as well.
Yeah, I think there's going to come a point where... I mean, it's nice that they try mocap, but I don't think it's necessary. I think it's going to either surpass our graphical capabilities, where it's kind of like faces and bodies that animate much better than their actual virtual counterparts.
Yeah.
Where I think a lot of people were saying, and this is, you know, again, read on the internet, a lot of people were saying like that right now the best example is probably Uncharted, where they use mocap as a starting point, and then they just kind of animate it as a game.
Yeah.
And that comes out looking really nice.
I think Naughty Dog have got something going there, because I know, Uncanny Valley can turn a lot of people off.
Yeah. And yes, it can.
And if this I'm glad I'm not one of those people, although I do get the sense of Uncanny Valley from L.A. Noire.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons Pixar avoided human characters for a while.
Yeah.
I know they were saying that's
and
why.
And even when they do human characters, they do really caricature type human characters.
That's why they were saying, like, The Incredibles was one of those big breakthroughs because that was actually the first time I think they had, like, moving hair.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that. Oh, the other thing David Cage is saying is that the technology in video games, the CG, it's 5 years behind CG in movies, like, for real time gameplay. And I just don't see that.
You don't see that?
That video game technology is just 5 years behind.
Well, the problem with that is, the problem with the video game technology is the consoles. Because have you noticed that he said he quoted 5 years, right? Have you noticed that the consoles are 5 years old?
Yeah, but even still, I don't think they're. I'm not gonna say because I'm not the best CG person, but I don't think it's up there yet. I don't think because 5 years ago would have been what 2006. That would have been like Pirates of the Caribbean, Spider-Man, Superman Returns, stuff like that.
Mm.
And I don't see games get into that level in 5 years. Anyhow, and aside from trash talking this week, we also had a bunch of announcements, especially from Capcom, who had three major announcements, well, two announcements and one cancellation. They canceled Mega Man Universe.
I don't know anyone, I don't actually know any Mega Man fans, to be honest.
I'm a Mega Man fan, to a degree. I mean, I'm not like, oh my gosh, it's new Mega Man, but I am a fan of the franchise. I prefer X personally, but, yeah, it's just kind of weird because this game was kind of due out in, I think it was due out in the next few months because it was supposed to come out in spring 2011.
Yeah.
But I think the last time we saw it was at New York Comic Con. And we haven't seen anything about that since, so I guess it made sense. But I thought the game looked well. I still never got how it was an MMO.
I think they said it was canceled for various reasons, and I think the earthquake didn't help. Certainly didn't help. And the departure of Mega Man's creator also didn't help, I don't think, either. But I don't think we'll ever know.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's ever honestly going to say that we were having trouble getting this game off the ground, so we had to can it. It happens.
And it's weird, strange because you can tell that Capcom were putting a lot of love in it because they put the bad box art Mega Man in there.
Yeah, they had other characters in there. I hope the technology, or at least the gameplay idea, comes back at some point. But yeah, I was kind of disappointed in that. On the other hand, they seem to be loving their Resident Evil. As we got two announcements related to that franchise, there's Resident Evil Reunion, which is an HD port of Resident Evil 4 and Code Veronica. For the life of me, I don't know how those two are connected.
I don't think they are at all.
I mean, they're connected in that they're the Resident Evil franchise, but I don't know
other
why
than
they picked
that.
Those two. Yeah, I don't know why they picked those
two. I
know,
Chris and Claire Redfield, I suppose. Oh, Chris. No, Leo, Chris Redfield's not even in Resident Evil 4. I'm an idiot.
That's Resident Evil 2, isn't it? So it's not the same characters. I mean, the only thing I can technically see is that since Resident Evil Code Veronica was the last one before the Switch, that's it. But I don't really get why they bundled these two together.
Maybe they're going to put Forrest Camera into Veronica.
No, from what I understand, I think because they've shown screenshots, it's just pretty much an up-res version of the two games.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Like, I was excited when I heard about this because I'm a huge fan of Resident Evil 4, even though, as I shared this week, I much prefer Resident Evil 5. But, yeah, it's just an up-res version of the two games. There's no camera, there's no hidden characters. As far as I know, there's no extra content.
I know a lot of people that would just be like, well, what, I'll buy it, but I don't see why I should. Because, you know, I know a bunch of people that have a copy of Resident Evil 4 they could already play, so.
Yeah, but I mean, it's in HD now, and I'm kind of.
PSP owners will all be all over that.
Yeah, I understand why people get excited, but at some point I just feel like these companies are doing the cheapest thing possible.
Yeah, why would we make a new game where we could just re-release an old one?
Yeah, it's not even, and most of them aren't even giving it the open kit. It's just like, oh, we'll just up-res it, call it an HD correction, and people will buy it. And at the end of the day, people are gonna buy it. And that's just kind of the sad thing, I guess, is that it's not even like a correction or anything. It's two games. And there's no kind of, I don't think there's added content or anything that bridges them together. So there's that. And the other thing, well, apparently they're rebooting the Resident Evil film franchise too.
Oh dear. I don't think anyone should ever reboot something. I think once it's done, just leave it.
Yeah, the thing is, I guess, you know, I'm so used to reboots being, is that the last movie is not even a year old, it's like 6 months. So it's just kind of weird to think of it as a reboot. But it will be called Resident Evil Begins, because that's what you do when you reboot a movie franchise.
Just call it Begins. Just like they're rebooting the Batman franchise again.
You see, I'm still kind of iffy on that one, because I don't know... I don't know if they said reboot or, you know, reimagining or whatever, because I assume that it's going to be something different, but it could be in the same universe, because we don't have Nolan and Bill. That doesn't necessarily mean they have to start from ground zero, or, you know. But, yeah, and the movie announcement wasn't the other Resident Evil announcement. The other announcement was Resident Evil Raccoon City, which is an online co-op game for Xbox 360, PS3, and PC.
It's downloadable.
Is it? No, it's not downloadable.
I thought it was.
No, Resident Evil Reunion is downloadable.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the two HD ports. No. Raccoon City is kind of like... I don't want to say Left 4 Dead because I hate making that comparison. But it's about a group of... I think it's the S.T.A.R.S. agent. And the BSAA, I think the name is. I'm not terrible with Resident Evil names. And kind of like what happened... This kind of takes you back to like Resident Evil 2 and 3 times. Where, you know, like the outbreak in Raccoon City, and you're now playing as like the forces trying to get out the city, and in some cases, like, stop the survivors, like Chris and Jill and Leon and all those other things from the older Resident Evil games.
Huh.
And of course, fighting a ton of zombies along the way.
I'm interested to see what the gameplay is like.
Yeah, I think they showed a, trailer, but it's an all CG trailer, so you don't really get any idea of what's going on, really. And, yeah, there was a trailer for Mercenaries on the DS, which I think comes with... what's the name of the other Resident Evil on the 3DS?
I can't remember what it is.
But yeah, it comes with a demo for that game, we can't remember the name of, so there's that. Okay, and finally, the final two pieces of news we have here is Spider-Man Edge of Time has been announced. And this is done by Beenix, who were responsible for Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, which is a pretty cool game. It's kind of interesting that they're going back to the multiple Spider-Man route this time. But instead of doing 4, you're doing 2, The Amazing Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2099.
I think the alternate like realities that people like the most from Shattered Dimensions anyway. So,
I guess because I hated Spider-Man Noir because it was a poor man's Batman Arkham Asylum, and I don't want to disrespect. Like I'm a huge Batman Arkham Asylum. It's just that it wasn't really done well, and I think it had a ton of potential, and it just wasn't done as well.
Well, potential's nothing if you don't execute it properly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a ton of game that. You know, if you fix one or two things, it would have made a much better experience. But I prefer, you know, if they're going to work on two.
I think if they work on two, then they can better concentrate on them.
Yeah, and, you know, they have the experience and the technology, so there's always that. I guess, though, that Spider-Man is the next brand that Activision is going to whore out, because...
Well, they're already started on Transformers, haven't they?
Yeah, we have a Spider-Man game due this year, and I'm assuming they're going to have a Spider-Man game due next year with the movie.
Okay.
And you had a Spider-Man game last year, so...
Although, speaking of Transformers, I'm kind of glad... I'm not too keen on the fact that they made basically the sequel to War for Cybertron, a movie tie-in.
Yeah, if it retains the same type of gameplay, I'm all for it. As long as they don't butcher the gameplay in addition to tying it into a movie. I can deal with a movie tie-in if it retains the pretty sides gameplay from War for Cybertron. But yeah, you play as, you know, Spider-Man, and I guess there's a time travel plot where you have to fix some time stream. Time travels as a rule of thumb is something I really hate as a concept, but that's just me. And
it gets time is the sort of concept that gets confusing really easy.
Yeah,
because whenever I try to explain the plot of Time Splitters Future Perfect, I get confused, and I just like, you know, I'll give up.
I mean, I guess the best definition of time travel is like it's a boy wobbly woobly from the Doctor. But yeah, and I guess actually we have Xenoblade Chronicles, which has been announced for Europe, which means that Nintendo of Europe now has two Wii games that people can look forward to this year. And we still got one. Were any of you looking forward to this game?
No, I don't. It's a Wii game.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to it, because it's a different type of RPG. It was more action-oriented, which is always a plus for me. I don't really care for the turn-based battles, which most people don't do anymore, but I've always kind of leaned towards action, time-based RPGs. And, you know, the concept was, wait, is this the one?
Looks pretty interesting.
This is the one with the two guards, which is kind of neat. I'm assuming that we'll get a announcement for North America soon, but it wouldn't be the first time that Nintendo has ported it, localized the game for Europe and not brought it over to the States. I'm still waiting for my copy of Disaster Day of Crisis.
It looks pretty cool. It looks really good, actually.
Yeah, it's made by the team who's gone. I mean, it's made by the team who made like the Xeno Saga.
Yeah.
And Brian Kaitos. And it's actually made by the team who made Disaster Crisis.
Funny that.
Which is why I'm kind of nervous about it. And I'm sure they'll probably announce the story at some point as well, because Nintendo's really hurting bad for any type of games on their system. Like, we haven't really had a release on the Wii since Mario Sports Mix in February.
No.
And I guess the Conduit whenever that comes out, but that's the Conduit. So, I mean, is there anything else you folks want to talk about?
Not really.
Then this has been a really short news week.
Jason's disappeared.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that.
Sorry, Siv is really distracting.
This is why we don't allow video games to be played while we're...
Hey, I managed to remain you, and I'm playing Crysis.
Yeah, you can do... it's not for everybody. It's why I don't do it. I used to do it. I did it like once or twice, and then I just don't pay attention to what people are saying. And I can never jump in, so there's that. I guess before we go, there was something I was reading this week, and I just want your thoughts on it, is that people were asking... I don't know if either of you hang out at like NeoGAF or whatever, but folks were asking about, like, why doesn't Sony, and to a lesser degree, Microsoft, do something akin to Smash Brothers with their brands?
I think because, Microsoft, for a start, doesn't have enough mascots that are different in that.
They have the Gears of War people.
They have Spartans, some more Spartans, Gears of War, and
the Fable dudes.
And nameless character from Fable.
Oh, and you can also do avatars.
Yeah, but I wouldn't play an avatar. The only time I would play an avatar games akin to Super Smash Bros. If it was free, because that Doritos thing.
Yes.
Because then it's free.
And Sony.
I don't think Sony has that many mascots either. I mean, they've got Nathan Drake. Sev from Killzone, who's mute, as far as I know. Kratos. And he's already in Mortal Kombat, so... I know, one of the characters from Resistance. I suppose they could have a guy from... what is it? That kart racing game. Or Nathan Racers, that's it.
They have Sackboy... They have Ratchet, they have Jack, they have...
Well, they can't use Jack and or Daxter, because it's evident that Naughty Dog are not having anything to do with that franchise anymore. But I suppose But Heroes on the Move, isn't that?
Yeah, I mean, I would beat a thing, but I assume people want a good game. But yeah, I guess that would be the closest thing. But even then, that's all you kind of cater into, like, the three. Because that's all you would. That's the Jack series, the Ratchet series, and the Sly Cooper series. Which still kind of leaves out the
market. The things like, characters from franchises like Killzone and Uncharted and Resistance, they're not really the type of characters that you would put in one such a game.
Well, I was thinking, like, maybe Smash Brothers isn't the smartest way to go. I think it worked for Nintendo because they had so many iconic characters.
They've got, but more Nintendo has proper mascots, whereas Sony and Microsoft don't really have proper mascots. They've just got characters.
I was thinking, like, if they did something more akin to maybe like a, I don't want to say kid-friendly, but a more arcadey shooter. Because a lot of their characters use weapons. Like, Ratchet uses weapons. I assume, you know, Sly Cooper has like his cane or whatever.
Well,
so that, you know,
what do you mean? Kind of, what do you mean a shooter? What would you compare it to?
Well, I mean, I guess not like a more arcadey shooter.
You mean
kind
of
like a TF2?
Yeah,
kind of.
Or like a Time Splitters sort of thing.
Yeah, not like a Modern Warfare or Black Ops or.
I know,
but
there's the thing is because we've got Killzone and.
Resistance,
which are grim dark, what I would refer to as grim dark, serious business games, so they wouldn't really work.
Well, I mean, it depends. Like, if you created a, like, I mean, the whole concept with Smash Brothers, at least the original, was that they were dolls, quote unquote, which is why they worked. In that you can maybe make it like a Little Big Planet themed type game where like everybody's like a. It's like a Sackboy avatar of all these characters.
Yeah.
Or you can kind of make them in that like, chubby style where they kind of have like, these deformed aspect ratios. Because I think that's the other issue with Sony.
But back to what I'm saying about they don't really have mascots. Is you look at Kirby and you're, that's Kirby. Whereas you look at, I don't know, Sev from Killzone and you just go, that's a soldier.
Yeah, I was about to say, because you keep on saying it and I have no idea who that character is.
Yeah.
I assume Sev he's
a
guy
Sev
in
the
helmet.
The person you play as.
Yeah, I've never played Killzone.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I've only played it once, but yeah, Sev is the guy you play as.
Yeah, it's kind of like I know, is it Killzone or Resistance? Whichever one has like the character on the main on the box who has like that weird helmet.
You mean the Hellghast?
Yes, there we go. That's the one I associate with that brand, and it's kind of like it's the same thing, where I guess, with Nintendo, where like, a lot of people associate Link with Zelda.
It's mainly because Sony and Microsoft, they run the HD consoles, and because they run the HD consoles, they're kind of mascots, if you will, or more realistic images. And Nintendo's aren't realistic images, well, by any means, because you've got a pink blob and.
Yeah, pink blob is very realistic. I mean, have you ever seen any other color blob?
I've seen green blobs. Pokemon has green blobs and blue blobs and yellow blobs.
Pokemon does not count. Even for Nintendo, that franchise has some weird character designs. Actually, Microsoft does have Banjo nowadays and Conker.
Yeah, but the last thing they did with Banjo-Kazooie, was other than Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, was
nuts
and bolts.
Racing games can work as well. I mean, Sega tried it with, but I the only thing I would fear for is the fact that Sega tried it and they didn't do well. And I would say that Sega probably has the second or third highest profile.
Now is once you try and do that, you get the only game to get away with that with doing the racing game was probably Mod Nations Races, because it actually wasn't a poor man's Mario Kart. If you try and do that, it'll be a poor man's Mario Kart.
Yeah. But even then, I mean, Mario Kart had to start somewhere. But, yeah, I would say that the top three, I would say, people would, is Nintendo, Capcom, and Sega.
Yeah, I honestly don't think that Microsoft, many other companies have mascots that can lend themselves to that sort of game. I mean, Pokemon at the inventory kind of worked, I suppose. But that was
that wasn't even the same company.
Yeah, it wasn't even. Well, three of the characters were within Telltale.
Yeah, but then you have five characters and you have to go out for 40% of them.
The characters that the companies have don't lend themselves too well to such a mashup game.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still, I mean, you would think that the notion or at least the idea of it would be something that.
It may be something that they've kind of
they
thought
about,
but they're like, nah, it doesn't work. which is why it hasn't come out.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I mean, but I guess the other thing would be, like, who would you get to make it? Like, Nintendo always had HAL. And then, you know, they formed
Microsoft
their own
doesn't
studios.
Doesn't really have any first-party developers anymore, does
they
it?
They don't have any manpower anyhow, so. I guess they could always license Bungie.
Again?
Make, like, a Halo-esque shooter with all their two mascots.
Well, even I would buy that, and I'm one who just goes out and buys first and shooters willy-nilly. I mean, I bought Medal of Honor. What does that tell you about me?
That tells me that you don't watch Giant Bomb's Quick Look, but,
No, I had some fun playing it, but... I'm just gonna say this before I drag it on. My main reason for buying games is because it's cheap. Which is why I bought Arkham Asylum, because it was cheap.
Fair enough. And for some reason, I'm just, like, I'm skimming through websites to catch up on my wiki news, because it's been an odd week for me anyhow. But I forgot that Dragon Quest X was reconfirmed to be on the Wii, and they would have an announcement about that sometime by the end of the year.
Oh, there's another game, I suppose. They'll probably announce it at E3.
Yeah, I think it makes sense for them to announce it at E3. I mean, Nintendo, I'm assuming they have a lot of games to announce at E3. Or a show, because we already know that there's a new Kirby game coming out. We know there's a new Zelda. I'm assuming we're going to get Xenoblade in the States. The thing is, it's just that between now and E3 is still 2 months, and they really haven't had anything in 2 months.
I really want E3 to hurry up and come, because it's like Christmas.
Yes, it is like Christmas.
And there's a chance of me getting my Time Splitters 4 this year, so...
Yes. There seems to be a lot of... franchises that are being dusted off this year. I know they just announced. Actually, they just announced Max Payne 3 again.
Again?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to announce a game more than once, honestly.
But if you refresh the look every time you decide to show the game. But yeah, that was announced in Edge recently. What else? There's been hints of a Hitman 5.
Don't the people that make Kane and Lynch the
make
same
the
company?
Friends?
Yeah,
I think so.
I think the Hitman 5 would be the best bet for them because Kane and Lynch weren't good games.
No, but you know, maybe.
And I know,
charm.
I can see. Although Hitman's not my sort of game, I can definitely see why people like it. Whereas,
yeah.
I can't really say the same for Kane and Lynch.
What can you do? But, I mean, I think that should do it for us. Well, at least me and you. I think we could shout fire and Jason wouldn't pay us any mind.
Sorry.
So
what happens when you get a new PC.
So for Jason's Game of Civilization, for Daniel and myself, this has been Dual Wilton episode 26.
I'm pretty sure.